Radio.
Hi, this is Marcy Ann, and I'm in the car on my way to the beach. I have a beach wedding today. It's just two people and her daughter. And we're going to do it at Big Corona State Beach tonight over in Corona Del Mar, which is really South Newport Beach, because I can't do it in Laguna Beach tonight, which is where I normally do my beach wedding, because we have a huge tide tonight. And in Laguna, the high tides take out the beach. But Big Corona State Beach, as the name implies, is big enough. I mean, we're still going to be pretty much up next to the cliff, but we will have enough beach to be able to accommodate the high tide and still be able to do the wedding on the sand. And so I've been having computer problems. I sometimes think that when you're on the first page of Google, you're kind of a target for spyware and adware and all those malicious things that want to attach to these number one websites. My website comes up on the first page of Google mostly. On some searches I come up on the second page, but still mostly the first page. My Marcy Ann Beach Wedding blog comes up on the first page. My elopement packages come up on the first page. My Orange County wedding locations comes up on the first page. Mostly my gazebo page comes up on first or second page of Google. And my beach wedding page usually comes up too. It depends on whether you put in California or Southern California or Orange County. But anyway, I've been going through these issues. Some kind of a malicious thing got into my website and corrupted it. And they were this is when you really need a good host that's hosting your website. And I've had my website on Ramp Indiana for probably the last 10 or 12 years. And they've been doing this for 17 years. And when we first started realizing it, Mark there at On Ramp Indiana said, "Don't worry, Marcy, we have plenty of experience handling these kinds of problems. We'll get it straightened out." And he has. And we're back up and running, and everything is going good. If you listen to my show last week, and I had had the, I had my friend Linda run the scan on me with her QX, and the machine was picking up my anxiety and my stress and in getting this website situation fixed. And I also haven't been able to, handle some of my business. And one of the things that's been sitting there waiting for me to be able to get to it is I have finished the work with the life coach that I talked about on some of my shows. And she sent me an email and said, now that we're finished, and it was funny, last week I had a big wedding at the beach. I mean, 5 bridesmaids and 5 groomsmen and flower girl and ring bearer and 95 people. And as we were getting this all coordinated and getting it started, and then finally we got down to the sand, and I had the processional set up to go across the sand. which is really a beautiful site. I wish I could have gotten some pictures. They had their own photographer. I usually, if I have my own photographer, you know, I can get pictures from them for the website. But in this case, she had her own photographer. But it's just such a beautiful sight to see these bridesmaids and groomsmen in their bright colors and walking across the sand as couples, and then the little ring boy and the flower girl, and then the bride with her dad. So I'm leading this processional across the sand, and there's a person in Laguna Beach that does laughing yoga on the sand. Sometimes I have to ask them to move down the beach, because here I am doing my wedding, you know, and here's the laughing yoga, 20 people over there laughing, ho, 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 ho. And they usually do. I have to get a permit to do my wedding down there, and they don't, because supposedly this fellow doesn't charge anything, which I don't believe at all. So he doesn't have to get a permit, because the permits are exclusive. I have the exclusive use of the beach for my bride for 2 hours. I mean, it's not that there aren't other people at the beach. There are, but there isn't another bride. And I would prefer that there not be the laughing yoga people. But anyway, they were there, and my life coach was one of the people at the laughing yoga. And so she waved and said hi, and I said hi to everybody in the laughing yoga, and then I went, shh, you know, don't be so loud. So, anyway, she shot me an email then, and she said it was so really great seeing you working with your bride and watching your processional, the beautiful processional across the sand. And she said, and now that we're finished with our therapy, then she said, I was wondering if you would write me a testimonial. So I've been thinking about it. Okay, now the two issues I wanted to deal with in my life coaching session with her was number one, self-mutilization, and number two, mild claustrophobia. So the and in the course of the time that we spent together, she has a minimum amount of time that you need to sign up for. And if you're interested in doing some live coaching, I can give, I'm in my car right now, so I can't look it up, but at the end of the show, I'll give you her name, and you can contact her, because we did the entire thing remotely, so you can do this anywhere in the world. If you speak English, you can have her. We did it over the phone, and it was very satisfactory that way, and it also, it doesn't, there's not all the complication, you know, of having to get together and all of that. Because you do it, one time she was up in Los Angeles when we did it, and I was here in Orange County. Another time she was going to be meeting with a client at John Wayne Airport, and so she set my hour, you know, ahead of his, and then we did it, and I'm just able to just stay at home and not have to travel, and so it's a great way to do it. So anyway, I've been thinking about what I got out of the coaching session. Well, first of all, I was able to set some new intentions, and if you listen to my shows on prayer, you know, one of the prayers I talked about was the prayer of the intention, as a prayer that works every time. And I realized that I was just a zombie, you know, walking dead person. I had closed my heart off, and I had pretty much stepped out of life. It's like, I think of myself as a servant doing the weddings. I think of myself as this person that is going to take all the bride's hopes and dreams and make them come true for her. And I throw myself into that 120% and just consider her and what she wants and making it perfect for her. without any thought about me. I mean, I know what I'm doing. I'm the best at what I do. I know that if she's found me, she's found the best person that can possibly do her wedding for her. And I just do what I know how to do. But I wasn't having any personal intentions or any personal ideas for me. I mean, I had kind of just, I was satisfied with where I was in my life, and I had to say I was happy, but I couldn't set an intention, so that needed to be dealt with. So I set the intention to really dedicate myself to this radio show and to do this. I have such an excitement about it now. It's what I know I'm supposed to be doing, and you feel very settled and very fulfilled and very happy when you are doing what you know you're supposed to be doing, and then you can just do it with your whole heart. And that was the other thing. I had to open back up my heart. And so we started with the life coach. I started with the self-mutilization. Okay, so I picked my cuticles, which is what is left of, as a child, I bit my nails down to the quick. I just bite my nails down to the quick, and I always hid my hands if I was where anybody could see me. You know, I'd either sit on my hands or I would fold my hands and not let anybody see my fingers, because mostly they, the ends of my fingers usually had Band-Aids on them, because I would bite them until they bled. And so I was finally able, when I went to college, I was finally able to stop biting my nails. And it was through great willpower. I started smoking when I went to college. I think I transferred a lot of that over to the smoking part, because then when I had to quit smoking, then I had to deal with it all again. And that's another story. But anyway, so here all these years, I've picked my cuticle. And so I always had these little sores on my hands. And my hands, you know, people see my hands. I hold the wedding rings, and photographers take pictures. And so it's important that my hands look pretty. And now I'm getting fancy manicures every week. I started getting manicures again. I noticed that when I did have a weekly manicure that I didn't pick at it as much, because it would take care of those hangnails and those rough spots that would draw my attention. And so now I have a beautiful manicure every week with flowers on my fingers, so that my hands look lovely when I'm doing the wedding ceremony. But what I realized about the picking of my cuticle, my life coach told me to begin to be more aware of when I was doing it. Because a lot of times with these things we do, we're doing them before we're consciously aware that we're doing them. So I had to begin to be more conscious in myself. What am I doing? And when I would find I was picking, I think, well, what's going on right now? And she said that as I became aware, then I should write down what I was doing. And then a pattern would show up. So over the course of the therapy, which was 3 months, you know, four times a month, and then 1 month was five times, so it was about 4, 8, 12, 13, about 15 sessions. A very clear pattern showed up, and I had the revelation and awareness that I pick at my cuticle when I feel like I'm not in control of a situation. when I've done everything I know to do, and then it's either not happening or it's not working, and or I'm having to depend on someone else, and I'm having to trust someone besides myself. And so then we looked at the claustrophobia, and it turned out that the claustrophobia is also connected to this, where I'm in a situation where I don't have any control, where I have to depend on someone else or something else, you know, like in an elevator. When you get into an elevator, okay, now you're closed up into that elevator, and you have to trust that that elevator, when those doors close, that elevator is going to go up and down and let you out on the next floor that you want. So there was, so it turned out that it's when I don't have the control and I have to trust someone or something else. Well, so I've been thinking about, so now I have the information. Now I have the information. I know the why. You know, I always say at the beginning of my show, this is say what, when, where, and most importantly, why. Because I've asked why my whole life. Because until you get the why do this? Until you find out why you do it, you can't do anything about it, to stop it or to change it. You have to know why. So I found out why. Okay, then the next thing is, what do I do about it? So I've been looking at this issue of trust. Boy, is that a big word or what? That's a trust with a capital T, trust. It's almost as big as truth. Truth with a capital T. I just have not had a lot of good experience with trust. Trusting someone, trusting something. My granddaughter was visiting, and she made this statement to me. Grandma, I wish that I could find a friend who's as good a friend as I am. And that was so sweet. I thought, she is a good friend. She just goes way out of her way to help other people. She'll go to the nth degree. She thinks of wonderful things to do. She's there for them. And then she can't find anybody like that that's there for her. And that's kind of been my experience with trust. To trust someone means they're going to do what they say. They will do what they say. Now, in my business, I have developed trust with a group of people, the best vendors in the world. Now, I've been doing this 19 years, so, I mean, this didn't happen overnight. Because I've had a lot of people I've tried to work with, and they just weren't, you couldn't depend upon them. They weren't trustworthy. They didn't have a high standard of ethics and personal integrity that they operated their business with. So, but I now have a crew, a wonderful crew of people that I work with. And I know they're going to be there. I have to have people that work more like I do. You know, I'm always early. And I would work with some vendors that would come flying in by the seat of their pants. It wouldn't be that they were late. It's just that they would always just come flying in at the last minute, you know, looking for a place to park. And that always would stress me out. I want us all to be there. You know, I've already, a lot of times, sometimes I would already have the groom there and the bride's due any minute, and here they come flying in. Well, I don't like that. I like to have my whole team there ready and thing I say is, we wait for the bride. The bride never waits for us. So I can't have these ones that come flying in on a wing and a prayer. We are there. Our equipment is all up and running. It's in perfect condition. It's been checked and double-checked. You don't get a second chance on a wedding. I mean, that's it. You got to be there, and you've got to be able to do what has to be done. It's not like, oh, well, I'm sorry about that. You know, how many times do you have something happen when you've gone someplace and you've wanted to have something done, and they don't do it, or they don't do it right, and they say, oh, okay, so come back next week and we'll do it. Well, I don't have that opportunity with my weddings. It's a one-time only deal. So we have to be there and ready to go. And we are. And this group of people I work with now, it's kind of like, you know, God's celestial workers. They have to be tried and true and tested to be able to work for God. And you have to be tried and true and tested in order to work for me. And that's just the condition. And lots of people want to work for me. And I'll give somebody a chance. But see, I have always apparently had these standards. I think I came into life with them. I think I was born with certain standards of personal ethics and integrity and intensity towards it and the passion to do anything I've ever tried to do. I always wanted to be the best, do it the best. And apparently, in raising my children were the environment that my husband and I had in our home for our children, because I have three children that they're always considered everywhere they go, you know, exceptional. I'm thinking, why should they be exceptional? Why isn't everybody as good as they are, that has a personal sense of ethics, a personal sense of integrity, that operates their life with passionate intensity towards each and everything that they do? I know that, you know, last year, my oldest daughter is a teacher, and last year, several members of one of her classes, she teaches business in high school, qualified to go to this national convention of some kind, and I wish I could be more specific, but I know it at the time, and then I don't remember. But anyway, she was going to take her three students, and then there were other parts of this convention where some of the other teachers were also going to be taking students in her whole district. Well, her principal called her in and said, Beverly, I would like to have you be in charge of the money for the hotels and the food while our school is being represented at this in convention. And Beverly said, well, I'm only taking three students. She says, why do you want me to be responsible for the whole thing? And her principal said, because I know I can trust you. And this is what happens to my kids. My youngest daughter is an auto parts pro in Nebraska. And recently, one of the vice presidents from corporate came and visited her at her store because of her unbelievable numbers that she, you know, the amount of business she does out of this little bitty store on the outskirts of Omaha. They said, we've just got to go see what she does. What does she do to do this? You know, what kind of things does she do? We need to know so we can get the rest of our stores doing it. And so he came in to the shop that day, and he said, okay, show us what you do. And she says, well, you know, first of all, I'm going to tell you that I don't do anything according to the policies and procedures that you have in the manual. She says, because I don't find that any of that works. And she just developed her own policies and procedures. She just developed her own way of providing parts to these commercial people. I mean, her customers are mechanics that, you know, work out of their garage or have a used car lot and buy a car at an auction and have to fix it up and want to sell it. Or now she's starting to get the big commercial accounts like Firestone and these other places, because they found out if you can't find a part or if you want the best price, call Margie. And the word is out there now. I mean, there's a good old boy network in the car business. When they find out there's somebody that knows how to do it, boy, that's who they want. So, and then my son is the one that the president and CEO of his company is always calling in and saying, okay, Dave, we've got this situation, and I know you can fix it. So, and I think it's because we raised our children according to very high standards and boundaries and ethics and integrity, and that's the way they live their lives today. And so this is all about my trust issues, because, you know, it's so hard to find people like that. It's really hard to find people that work at the same level of ethics and integrity that I do. So how do you trust today? I mean, this is the question I'm asking myself. And so what came out of my life coaching is this: what I can trust is my own inner wisdoms. Now, this may sound like, you know, I'm still only trusting myself, but it's not, because down in the inner wisdoms of the all there is, see, we're a vibration, and we talked about this last week, how the reason why Linda can do the QX machine remotely on me is because I have a certain and specific vibration that nobody else has. And so she just tunes in remotely with that, just like calling a cell phone. It's the same, using the same physics. Oh, I just got here to the beach in one of the boats that does these takes people out, you know, is right out in front here. I think we might have a whale, because there's several boats all gathered out there. Oh wow, I'll bet there's a whale out there. If I see it, I'll let you know, because the blue whales are back this year. They're not usually here at Big Corona. It could be that it's a big group of dolphins, but the blue whales are back. They're down in Dana Point, but I went out and saw them last year. They're just, you know, they're the biggest animal on the earth, the blue whales. So I had never seen them, and I went out last August on a cruise, and we saw the blue whales. We saw Hook. He had a big YouTube video for quite a while. I think it's still on there. You can look up Hook, Dana Point, Blue Whale Hook. You can look it up. So anyway, back to the trust. I love coming to the beach. It's a beautiful day today. 75 degrees, totally sunny, and maybe a whale. So anyway, I can trust my inner wisdoms because I have this certain vibration that is me. And you always use your legal name and your place of birth and time of birth and date of birth. And that is the vibration that that has been created. And so this vibration, it's the God spark, the part of us that is one with everything. We're not here by ourselves. We're here as a part of the whole thing. So I am one with everything there is. And so through this oneness, this vibration that I am is in connected with all the other vibrations. And so that gives me like an omniscience, an omnipresence, an omniscience to be able to know. I can tune in to that vibration. This is what I'm doing now, trusting my inner wisdoms. My inner wisdoms to know about everything in the outer. So in other words, these having to trust other people and other things, I have these inner wisdoms that connect with these outer people and these outer things. And this inner wisdom is going to tell me if I can trust them or not. And so it's kind of like a radar thing. You know, how the radar, you know, those blips that go around, you know, like the controllers that are watching the planes within their blip. Well, that's what we can do. We can just send our radar out. Just see yourself scanning your local situation, scanning your local area, scanning the local whatever's going on. And then you can get a readout. We get the readout. It's whether it's safe or whether it's danger or whatever it is. Now, we've called these intuitions, and they haven't always been in operation. They operate more in our awareness in more alarming situations. But we can live like this. We can just live in a constant state of knowing. And then that way we're not going to be putting ourselves into harm's way. I mean, I would know if the minute I would step one foot inside an elevator, my scan would say, safe, or get out. Now, the one thing I haven't figured out how to do is the traffic here in California, because when you're out on the freeway and the freeway stops, I mean, that's it. You just have to inch along until you get to the next exit to be able to get off. So I'm trying to just, I'm in business for myself, I work from my home, and so I just pretty much try to not set up situations where I'm going to have to be out there in that traffic, because I do have that choice. And I do feel so sorry for these people that have to get out there and get in that every day. I don't know how they do it. Just inch along in those, not even 1 mile an hour, 0.01 mile per hour, just inching along. But anyway, and then if I do find myself in that situation, then I breathe. I have this wonderful music I'm playing right now. This is the music I use to be on the freeway, The Descendants. Isn't it beautiful? It's the music from The Descendants. And it's so calming and peaceful for me. And then I usually have some work to do in the car. I'm always working on something. I'm either have something I'm reading or studying, or I have CDs I can listen to. And I just meditate. I can, you know, do some meditations. And right now I'm learning how to read the Akashic Records. So I'm going to talk about that later in another show, but I can practice doing that. So these are just ways that I'm, you know, dealing with these different things. But in the overall work that I did with the life coach, it was very valuable, and I'm going to write her a great testimonial. I recommend that everybody just deal with stuff. Don't ponder. Remember last week when we were talking about the imponderables, how the Linda's QX machine can measure, can know what we're pondering about, the imponderables, those things that we ponder in our hearts. There's that verse in the Bible where, you know, Gabriel went to Mary and told her she was going to be having a baby and this was going to be an important person. He was going to come to earth and she was going to have the care for him as he was growing up. And then he had a big mission to do while he was here. And, of course, this was, you know, everything he was telling her about Jesus. And now we really know who Jesus really is. And he's the creator, son of our universe. And can you imagine having an angel appear to you and then tell you you're going to have this, you're going to be the mother of this important person? And it said after the angel left that Mary sat there and pondered those things in her heart. I can guess so. And we ponder these great things. We ponder issues. We ponder things. It's kind of what we do when we're trying to make a decision about something. We ponder and we ponder. And so I'm all for going into those imponderables and find out what they are and what are they there for? Why are we pondering it? And get to the answers for it. So trust is a big issue for me, and I'm expanding my horizons, and I'm trusting my inner wisdoms to tell me to scan everything that where I go, who I'm with, what I'm doing, just scan it all and tell me the whole story about it. I don't have to live in ignorance. I can live knowingly. The wedding went wonderful. The couple had flown in just for the weekend from the Dells in Wisconsin. His brother had moved out here several months ago, and so they, the bride and groom, decided to come out to California and be married at the beach. And I found out, actually, that the bride does weddings herself. She said she'd done over 400 weddings. The Dells there in Wisconsin is a very popular resort area. And I thought, wow, I felt very honored that they had picked me to do the ceremony for them. You know, you go online today and you look at pictures. And hopefully when people look at my picture on my website, they feel something. And what I feel, what I hope they feel is that they can trust me. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is trust. That they can look in my face and read what I say and think, oh, you know what, this sounds good. This sounds like she'll do what she says, and this sounds like what I want. So, you know, here's a woman that does a million details to plan a big wedding, and because she does this reception too. See, I don't do receptions; I just do the wedding ceremony. That's enough for me. But she does that, you know, the million and one details. But when it came time for her to do her own, she just didn't want to mess with all that. And you know what? I find that these couples that it's just about the two of them, it has so much more meaning. There's no focus anywhere else outside of themselves. They're just focused on each other. And I was wrong about her bringing her daughter. That's my couple next weekend. I have an elopement again next weekend of just two people and her 14-year-old daughter. But this couple were just the two of them, and they just were focused. They just looked in each other's eyes, and they were just focused on each other and not having to worry about all the guests and if the DJ showed up and if the cake's been delivered and all those million and one details that go along with a great big wedding. So it was a wonderful ceremony, and they'll be flying back home today, back to Wisconsin. And I said, well, maybe you'll be coming back out here again sometime, and you can stand in this very spot and say your vows to one another again. I do the sand ceremony for them, though. So they, I have a keepsake container, and I have it filled with shells. And I have them take the sand from underneath their feet, from where they stood, to say their vows, and put it in the keepsake container. I said, I hope you can come back to California lots of times and stand in this very spot and say your vows to one another again. But in the meantime, in between those times of those visits, just take some sand now from underneath your feet and put it in this keepsake container. And you'll be able to take this home with you. Put it in your home, someplace where you see it all the time. And let it always remind you that this is the place where you stood to say your vows. And you are forever joined together. Your sands are blended together here in this keepsake container forever. And so let this become your day-to-day reality for the rest of your lives. So, they looked at my picture on the website, and they read what I had to say, and they called and gave me a credit card over the telephone, total stranger, 3,000 miles away. I have them come from Australia, from all the farthest reaches of the world. And they just call and give me a credit card over the phone, total stranger. So that's a degree of trust we've learned to do on the internet. And the reason they can trust me is because I do what I say I will do. And they feel that. And not only that, I have just the minimum of what we do on the website, and then we do more. I want the bride to feel like she got way more, and in this case they felt like they did, because I know the area and I took them to the most beautiful beach, one of our prettiest beaches. I don't go there very often because it's farther away from me, but because of the big tide. Do you know we're going to have that perigee moon tonight, I think it is, or tomorrow night is the time. It's a full moon at a time when the moon is the closest to the earth. So it's going to seem like it's bigger and brighter. And because of that, we had a huge tide, great big tide, because the moon is so close to the earth. So, well, how are we going to trust other people? What I'm doing now is I'm turning to my inner wisdoms. Now, in order to get in touch with your inner wisdoms, you need to be true to yourself. And so that's going to be where you start in this trust business. Got to be able to trust yourself. I've always been able to trust myself. If I say something, I'll do whatever it takes to keep my word. My word is my bond. I don't give it out willy-nilly. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And then I try to do it the very best I possibly could do, and do more than what I said I would do. And that's the way I run my business. But I found that if you're in any form of compromise with yourself, whether it's a relationship or your job or whatever it is, where inside of yourself you're in conflict from whatever your outward life is. So the first place you want to start is to get your inner and your outer in agreement. Whatever it is you believe on your inner person, live that to the fullest extent in your outer life. Whatever you believe, don't compromise your beliefs, not for anyone or anything. End any conflicts that you have with yourself, any area where you ponder and ponder. Get into those things and find out why and settle those issues. Oh, we got a police going by here. And then, once you're in agreement with yourself, that's the first, it's really the only person you need to be in agreement with. Because if you're in agreement with yourself, 100% agreement with yourself, and your inner and your outer is whole, then you're in a place of truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that shines the light so we can see where to go and what to do. And then you can start to trust your inner wisdom. And then you will become electromagnetic energy field with a scanner that can scan for you and just send out your antennae. Do you ever watch the Bug World? They have these little antennas, and they're constantly searching and scanning and searching and scanning. We do too. It comes forth out of our third eye. It's operated by the pineal gland. It hasn't, our pineal gland has sort of atrophied, but it's now being back into operation. It's always been in operation, but now it's beginning to operate more fully. And that is our scanner. Our pineal gland operates through our third eye. So just send out your antennae. Send them out. Is this safe for me? Is this where I should go? Is this a person I should talk to? Is this a person I can trust? And then you'll begin to live in a safe. You'll be totally safe. You won't be able to be taken advantage of. You'll be able to tell if somebody's lying to you. You'll be able to tell if you should go with something or not. And our life just becomes a lot easier. We don't get ourselves mixed up in a whole bunch of stuff we shouldn't have gotten involved with in the first place, because our little scanners are going to say, no, 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 or yes, yes, yes. So that's my little look at trust, as far as I've gotten it in my own life. I can only, you know, share with you what I've experienced so far. And so far, I've been using my little scanners, and I'm able to trust again. Tonight I wanted to give you some follow-up information in case you're interested. First of all, I did find out what those boats were doing out there, congregated out on the ocean in front of Big Corona State Beach over this last weekend in Orange County. We had a huge group of dolphins come through, hundreds and hundreds of dolphins came through, and I think the video is on YouTube. You can look up Captain Dave's Dolphin Safari. He got a great video of it. And then secondly, if you would like to have some more information about the pineal gland and the way it operates through our third eye, to find out more how these scanners that we have work, you can contact David Hulse.
That's HULSE. His telephone number is 980-949-8921. And he has a CD teaching on the pineal gland. You can just, if Tim answers the phone, just say, I'd like to have the tape of the month on the pineal gland. It'll give you some tremendous information about it. And or you can go to webmaster at lightwithin.com for that information on the pineal gland. And then thirdly, my life coach's name was Valerie. And if you'd like to look into some of your ponderings or help get your inner and your outer in agreement, you can call her for some sessions. Her number is 949-891-8491. And then finally, my website for the weddings is www.marcyann.com. And as I said earlier, my Marcy Ann's Beach Wedding blog comes up on the first page of Google. And also elopement, if you just Google elopement in California, my website comes up, www.marcyann.com. If you just want to fly in some weekend and get married at the beach, I just would be so happy to do it for you. And so tonight's talk about trust, kind of talked about a whole bunch of stuff, but our life is one of a whole, it's a whole, you know, it has many, many facets, many, many layers, many, many dimensions. And so I just spoke to you about where I am at my level of trust right now. And so for now, I'm going to say goodbye. And in the Hawaiian language, that's aloha. It actually is hello, goodbye, and I love you. And until next week, goodbye.